Amen. Praise the Lord for that special, and what a blessing that is as well. And praise the Lord for that place as a Christian where you will never stand alone. His presence says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that is a great promise that we can claim. And I trust it's been a blessing just being in the house of the Lord all day today. You know, I know that we say that often, but that is so true, isn't it? Yeah. Just a blessing to be at a place like this throughout the day on Sunday. And you've chosen a great decision to be here tonight, to be in the place. Of course, we have a lot of decisions we can make in life and a lot of different places we can be. But certainly you'll never be sorry for gathering with God's people in God's house, hearing the message from God's word. And so we praise the Lord just for the specials this evening, for the opportunity to stand and preach God's word. I'd have you take your Bible and turn to John in chapter 11 this evening. John in chapter 11. And a great passage of scripture. Many of us are familiar with the idea of the story of Lazarus and God raising him back to life. And there's so much we can learn, so many applications. And yet I believe this is exactly where the Lord would have us to be this evening. And so once you've found your place in God's word, if you'd stand this evening for the reading of God's word, John chapter 11, we're going to take our text in verses 14, but particularly in verse 15 there. And Jesus at this point is speaking to his disciples. And the Bible says in verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, the Bible says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. And I want you to pay particular attention to these words that he says here, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And I want to preach a message tonight entitled, to the intent ye may believe. The intent ye may believe. Let's be go to the Lord in prayer, and then you can be seated. Lord, again, we are grateful for this opportunity to stand here tonight. We're thankful for the opportunity to be in church all day today. Thankful for a day that's set aside to worship you. And Lord, the preaching that we heard this morning, just a wonderful message. And then the singing throughout the day has been a great blessing. And I pray that for the next few moments that you just calm our hearts, Lord, as we listen to the preaching of your word and give us exactly what we would have need of, Lord. I pray that you'd remove from our minds those things of the day that would seek to distract us, Lord, and that we would just focus on what you would have for us this evening. We love you and we thank you for all these things. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. We see here this very well-known story. I believe, obviously, most of us are familiar with this, but it teaches us that sometimes God delays his working in our lives, or sometimes God works in our lives in ways that sometimes, to be very honest, leave us questioning a little bit of his plan and what he's doing in our situation. But yet, this story teaches us that when God is working in our lives, it's always for our good and for his glory. In the Christian life, as God chooses to work in circumstances, in ways, let me say this tonight, it's always for your good, and it's always for his glory. We see there the words in 14 and 15, Jesus says to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. There was no mistaking that in Jesus' mind. Lazarus was dead. And then he says in verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That phrase, for your sakes, and yet we see two purposes clearly evident in the delay of Jesus here in our story. Jesus was working out two different things here in this situation, and here's the clear purpose of that. First of all, that the faith of those following Jesus would grow. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, and he has them in mind, and he's using this situation, no doubt, to grow their faith, but beyond his disciples, his followers, Mary and Martha. And yes, even Lazarus, God was going to use this situation to grow their faith. And we see that's one of the purposes of his delay in our story. But the other purpose is that God would get the glory through this. Yeah. That God would be glorified. And yet, as a Christian, I want you to think about this. Your life comes down to these two purposes. When God works in our lives and when God allows circumstances to come into our lives and maybe things that we might question, it's always for these two purposes. That God would get the glory, and that your faith would grow, that you would be benefited through God working in your situation. Yeah. Your life comes down to these purposes so that you might believe in God, that your faith may grow in situations. And I want to say this, as we see there in verse 15, to the intent ye may believe. Understand this, God's intentions for his work in your life are always, always for this purpose. That you might benefit by it, that your faith would grow, and that God would get the glory. Now, the truth is, how he goes about working this purpose many times is a mystery to us in the moment. We may find ourselves saying, God, what are you doing? trying to figure out the Lord's will in this situation. And yet, I want to say this, you can rest assured in one thing. Sometimes things may seem to be out of control in your life, and yet you can rest assured in this, that God is in complete control of the situation. You may wonder, God, what are you doing, and why is this situation happening over here? And it seems like things may be out of control, but we can rest assured, if you're a Christian tonight, God is in complete control of that situation. And yet there's a key principle that must be determined in the times of chaos in our lives, in the times of difficulty or the times of trial in our lives. In fact, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, another familiar passage of Scripture, but one that's a great help to us in understanding when we go through the difficulties of life. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." I want you to think about that passage tonight. The truth is, as we're going through this life and as we're following after God, the Bible says when we're loving God, when we are Christians, we're believers, and we're following after His divine call and His divine purpose for our lives. Listen, that doesn't mean that things are always going to be great in your life. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be mountains and hurdles that you have to go after. But it means this, if God is working through those situations, He's going to bring it about for His good, or for your good and for His glory. Now, sometimes, listen, we can misquote this verse. You'll see someone that has made a mess out of their lives by choosing their own way and choosing their own decisions, and they may utter this phrase, "Well, God will work it out to good." The truth is, listen, if we're not willing to repent from that situation that got us into that place in the first place, God is not obligated to work those things out for our good, and the truth is He won't. But listen, as we claim Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and as we're living Romans 8, 28 in our lives, living the Christian life, we can understand that God is in complete control. And God is working that situation out for our good and for His glory. And so we see that idea of living, that idea of Romans 8, 28. And there are moments in our lives where we learn the power of God, aren't there? There are key moments as we live the Christian life that God intends us to learn of His power. And I want to say this evening, listen, those moments are often difficult for us. However, the opportunity in which Christ has to show His power will always benefit us. Think about that tonight. There are key moments in your life in which God says, "I'm going to use this situation to show My power to you. I'm going to use this to grow your faith." And it may be difficult for us to go through that situation, but understand this, it will always benefit us. We'll always have the opportunity to see God's power. So we see here in our story, Jesus delayed His coming to Bethany for a purpose. This was not just bad timing on God's part. There was a purpose behind Jesus delaying His coming to Bethany. And the Bible teaches us some things that I want to point out to you tonight from this passage. And I first of all want you to see that God's will is always best. God's will is always best. Would you look back to verses 1 through 4 of John chapter 11 there? The Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick." So the Bible gives us some background as to who these people were. We understand Mary and Martha and Lazarus, good friends of Jesus, followers after Him, those that love Jesus. In fact, the Bible indicates there of Mary, which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair. And so we understand that Jesus loved them very much. There was a very close relationship with them there. And the Bible says in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, He heard that Lazarus was sick, He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Understand, this sickness that Lazarus had received was the will of God. And I want you to understand this, that the will of God was what was best for Lazarus' life, and for Mary's life, and for Martha's life. We understand it was the will of God, and God's will is always best. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight, as you think about this situation. Do you think if Jesus would have come to Mary and Martha and Lazarus and said, "Hey, listen, I'm thinking about giving a disease to Lazarus in which it's going to cause him to die. Do you think they would have said, oh, yes, we'll take that. Yes, please, please bring that disease on our behalf. And the truth is, understand this, none of us believe that that would have taken the place. And yet I wanted you to think about this. They would have never chosen that. But yet God allowed this to come for a specific purpose. And while these siblings would have never chosen this for themselves, they also would never have seen their brother rise from the grave. They would have never seen this manifestation of God's power on their brother's life if they would have never chosen the sickness. And yet sometimes again in our lives we can wonder, what's God doing? And yet we understand from this passage that God's will is always best. Think about this. Jesus allowed tragedy to strike in order to grow his followers' faith. Jesus allowed an event to happen in their lives that they would not have chosen for themselves. In fact, in their minds, it would be the farthest thing away from that that they would have chosen, and yet he allowed that to happen in order to grow his followers' faith, to increase their faith. I want you to understand tonight, listen, God's will is always best. Oftentimes, I don't understand what God is doing in certain situations, and you have been there as well, and maybe it's someone else that God is working through the circumstances, and sometimes we're wondering, God, why them? Why did you choose them? Or maybe it's in your own life, and you're wondering, God, what are you doing in this situation? Why have you chosen us to go through this difficult trial? And I think probably all of us have found ourselves in that position, and we've dropped down on our knees, haven't we, before, in front of God. And maybe you, on your knees, beg God to change your circumstances. Maybe you were praying intercessory upon someone else's behalf, and you were praying, God, please change their circumstances, and please allow this to change, and please intervene in this situation. And the truth is, we can pray to God about anything. That's one of the wonderful things about the gift of prayer. We can go to God about anything, and we can pray anything that we want to as we go to the Lord Jesus in our lives. And yet, while we're able to take anything to him in prayer, we must be ready to accept his will, even if it's contrary to our desires. Amen. Understand, you can drop down on your knees and you can pray for God to change circumstances. But if it's not God's will to change those circumstances, we need to be ready as Christians to accept his will, even if it goes against our wishes. Even if it goes against our desires, you say, Brother Andy, why? And I would say simply because his will is always best. Even when you don't understand it. It's always best. It's always for your good. And it's always for his glory. I want you to turn over to Philippians, because I want you to see an example of this thought here in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians is a great book. It's written by Paul to the church at Philippi. And yet he's encouraging them through some of his own difficulties. And the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, Paul speaking here, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's saying, listen, I have found myself in some affliction, and yet God is using that for the furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, it indicates as to what this affliction was. He says there in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Paul says, listen, brothers and sisters in Christ, I found myself in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, no doubt that would have been a hardship, a difficulty, something that Paul probably wouldn't have chosen for himself if he had the choice. And yet he finds himself in the midst of this trial. In the midst of this difficulty, and he says, guess what, brothers and sisters in Christ, God is using this situation. God is allowing his word to be preached in the palace. God is using it in all other places. And then look what he says in verse 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. He says, God is using this situation. It's something that I may not have chosen, and yet God's will is what is best for me in this situation. Look in verse 20. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul says, listen, whether I die or whether I live, Christ is going to be magnified in my life. And can I say this to the Christian? That is a great place to live in this life. Whether we die or whether we live, we're going to live in such a way that Christ is magnified no matter what we do and that God will get the glory. But look in verse 21. He not only says, is God going to get the glory in this, but look in verse 21. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says it's not only just about God getting the glory, but God's allowing this for my good. He says, listen, if I go living here on this earth, if I end up being released from prison and I'm allowed to go living here on this earth, listen, I'm going to continue living for Christ. He's going to allow it to continue to be for my good. But if I die, it's gain. I gain heaven. I gain the splendor of heaven. And understand what Paul is saying. Listen, while I'm here in this situation and while I may not have chosen this as God's will for my life, he's using it not just for the glory of God, but for my good as well. He's allowing it to be worked on my behalf for my good and for his glory. For the Christian life, understand this, life is a journey of faith in which God uses key moments to grow our faith. The sickness of Lazarus here was a key moment I want you to see in their lives. It was a key moment in which God said, I'm going to use this to grow their faith. Notice their response to it, would you? Go back to John in chapter 11. Notice the response of the sisters here in this key moment of growing their faith. The Bible says in verse 3, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. In the midst of that difficulty, they sought Jesus. Can I say this? In the midst of our difficulty, in the midst of our times of trial, there is no better place to look than into the face of Jesus and ask him to help us as we go through those times. The proper response to difficulty, seek Jesus. And yet what I want to say here in this, when we seek Jesus, allow him to work his plan. Give him time to work on your behalf. Understand this, listen, Jesus wasn't coming for 4 days. They needed to be ready to give time to Jesus to allow him to work his plan on their behalf. And you say, why? Why wait 4 days? Because it was God's will that Lazarus die. It was God's will that Lazarus die. I want you to think about this moment in their lives because God's will was the furthest thing from their mind. It was the greatest tragedy that could happen in their life. In that moment was God's will, and yet they had no idea how God was going to use that moment to build their faith so that he might get the glory and so that they might see the good and God's power in their lives to the intent that ye may believe. Understand this first of all tonight, church. God's will is always best. God's will is always best. Secondly, I want you to see from our story tonight that not only is God's will always best, but God's timing is always perfect. Amen. God's timing is always perfect. Look at verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he, Jesus, abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. The Bible tells us in chapter 10 that Jesus had gone beyond Jordan. He was fleeing there as from those that wanted to kill him. And the Bible says that many came to him there. And he began to minister to them in that place beyond Jordan. And yet the Bible says he received the news that Lazarus was very sick. And the Bible says he didn't leave immediately. He tarried there for 2 more days. Now, understand this. Jesus could have dropped everything and gone to be with Lazarus. He certainly was in control of that situation, and he could have. And the truth is, we understand this, that Jesus, from that very place and beyond Jordan, could have very simply healed Lazarus from that place. Listen, the Son of God knew no restraints, and yet he chose not to. Look at verse 17 of the same passage. Then when Jesus came, he came to Bethany there. He found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. By the time Jesus arrives in Bethany, we understand this, that Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. Now, we believe that where Jesus was beyond Jordan to Bethany was about a day's journey. Many Bible historians believe that about the time that Mary and Martha had sent that messenger to go to Jesus to tell him that Lazarus was sick, that's about the time that Lazarus died. And then there was a day's journey to Jesus. Jesus abode 2 days where he was, and then a day's journey back to Bethany gives us 4 days. And yet I want you to see the questioning of Martha. Look in verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She was questioning the timing of Jesus. Lord, if you would have been here when we sent for you. Lord, if you were just somewhat sensitive to the needs of Lazarus, you could have been here and my brother would still be alive. Look at verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. We understand this, out of grief, both questioned the timing of Jesus. Lord, we don't understand your timing. Why didn't you come when we first sent for you? Why couldn't you have just healed him from a distance? Or better yet, if you would just have been here, Lord, 4 days ago, our brother wouldn't have died. And yet, not knowing the conclusion of the story that we know, now that we're looking back, we understand some things, but not knowing the conclusion of the story, we probably ourselves would be questioning the timing of Jesus, saying, Lord, why would you wait? Why would you not go and be in that place? You had the ability to do that, and yet in the midst of difficult circumstances, it's easy to question what God's doing, isn't it? It's easy to question his timing, and you may even in your own mind say, well, if I was God, I would have already had this worked out. And God, here's the timetable. Sometimes we can go to God and we can go to him with a list of demands, can't we? God, would you work on this behalf? And this is when I need it done. If you could just do it by tomorrow, that'd be great. And yet we understand this. Sometimes we see or think that his timing is off. But I want to remind you this, that God's timing is always perfect. God's timing is always perfect in our lives. And yet we ask ourselves this question, why did Jesus delay? And I believe the truth to that answer is this. The 4 days in the grave was crucial to prepare Jesus' followers for what was about to happen. The 4 days of Lazarus being in the grave was very crucial to prepare them for Jesus' own death and Jesus' burial and resurrection. Jesus makes this statement in verse 15. He says, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. What's he saying? He's saying, I'm glad my timing didn't allow me to be there. Consider this. Had Jesus been in Bethany when Lazarus was very sick and close to death, understand that Jesus would have been obligated to heal Lazarus. Mary and Martha would have been there and they would have been begging Jesus, and the disciples who all loved Lazarus as well would have been begging Jesus, would you please intervene on his behalf? And listen, understand this, the disciples knew Jesus had power over sickness. Jesus had given them power over sickness. That Mary and Martha had heard the stories about Jesus seeing people healed and possibly had even seen it with their eyes. They already knew Jesus had power over sickness. Consider this, if Jesus had been there right as soon as Lazarus had died, Jesus, again, would have been able to raise him back to life. And they'd seen people that had died and that Jesus had raised back to life. Remember the story of that widow's son there, and Jesus stops the funeral procession there, and he raises that young man back to life as he's there and has just passed away. Remember Jairus' daughter, as Jesus raises her back to life. Listen, the disciples realized that Jesus had power over resurrection. They'd seen that there. They already knew he had power. But I want to say this tonight. No one had ever seen someone that had been dead for 4 days brought back to life. Look to verse 39, if you would. Jesus goes to the grave of Lazarus, and Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Look at Martha. Martha's that kind of person that I truly believe she's the one that's going to say what everyone else is thinking, right? But doesn't want to say. Look what she says in verse 39. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. You know what she was saying? She's saying, Lord, you don't understand. You've raised people back to life there on their deathbed. But he's been in there for 4 days. The natural process of the corruption of the body has already begun to take place. What she was looking at Jesus and what she was saying without saying it is, Lord, even you don't have the power to raise him at this point. He's too far gone. The body has already done its natural process of corruption. In their lines, all of them were thinking the same thing. Lazarus is too far gone. He's been in the grave for 4 days, Lord. You don't understand. And yet again, I remind you tonight that God's timing is always perfect. And I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture that says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Amen. Let me caution you tonight not to grow impatient with God. As He's working in your life, and as He's allowing things to come into your life in order sometimes to grow your faith, don't grow impatient with Him. Just continue to follow Him and allow Him to continue to work His plan in your life. Because we understand from this story that God's timing is always perfect. And so we see tonight that God's will is always best, God's timing is always perfect. But I want you to see thirdly and finally tonight, God's ways are always pure. God's ways are always pure. Look to verse 15, if you would, back in John chapter 11. Jesus, in speaking to His disciples, says, "And I am glad for your sakes." Understand this, He had the best in mind for all of His followers that day. This was not just about God playing games with Mary and Martha and Lazarus and the disciples and just showing them His power just because He could. No, this was for their benefit. His motives, His ways were very pure in this. He was glad for their sakes that He had not been there, to the intent that ye may believe. Now, I ask myself this question, what were they to believe in? Because the truth is, all of these men and women already believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They already believed that He was the Son of God, and yet He says this, to the intent that ye may believe. Listen, it wasn't about believing in Jesus as the Messiah. He was preparing them for something that was about to take place. Something they all needed great faith for. His own death. Listen, the disciples and Mary and Martha needed to realize that the first day after Jesus' death, when Jesus hadn't risen, that there was still hope of a resurrection. They needed to realize that on the second day, that maybe they were sitting around and wondering what has happened, and maybe today is the day of the resurrection. They needed to realize there was still hope. They needed to realize on that third morning, when those women went towards the tomb that third morning and they were somewhat wondering all that was going on, they needed to realize that there was still hope on that third morning, that there was still hope of a resurrection. And can you imagine in their minds as they ran to that tomb that day and they saw the stone rolled away and they realized that Jesus was alive? You see, this story was all about preparing them for greater faith, for believing that Jesus could rise, even if it was 3 days later. Because Jesus had power, and 4 days in the grave was nothing for the power of God. This was all about growing their faith. I find that each difficulty I face in my life, in the Christian life, is there for growing my faith. It's there for preparing me for greater faith-growing moments. I want to conclude tonight with somewhat of a personal illustration of how God has worked in our family's life. I remember in 2003, Sheree and I were married, and of course we enjoyed marriage there and living there in Cleveland, and God began to work in our lives, and we were working on staff for my dad there, and it was a great blessing. God was using us, and a wonderful thing. And yet I remember just a few months into our marriage that Sheree got very sick there in Cleveland, and we really didn't understand all that God was doing in that time. And so I remember we went and saw doctors, and we went to the emergency room a couple different times, and she was unable to keep any food down at that time, and she was growing weaker and weaker by the day, very dehydrated. And I remember finally, they admitted her into the Cleveland Clinic. And many of you are probably familiar with the Cleveland Clinic. You don't go to the Cleveland Clinic just for little things. They really don't have great patient care for that kind of stuff, but for mystery kind of things, that's what they excel in. And I remember going there and just kind of wondering all that God was doing. And for several days, for 5 days, she was admitted to the hospital. I'm not kidding you when I tell you this, that most days there were 5 and 6 doctors that would stand around her bed with clipboards and ask her questions and take notes. And they were very mystified by all that was going on. Really couldn't give a diagnosis, and they were running tests and all kinds of things. And understand this, just first getting married, we didn't know all that God was doing in that situation. It was about a 30-minute drive from the apartment where we were living to the hospital. And I remember driving that several times a day, trying to do work and all that kind of stuff, and driving back and forth. Had a lot of questions in my mind. Had a lot of time alone with God, just kind of to think and say, sometimes ask God, Lord, I don't understand all you're doing in this situation. I didn't understand his timing. We had just gotten married, and this would not have been the path that we had chosen. We didn't understand all those things. I remember that was during the time of where the high deductible savings accounts were very popular, and our church was contributing to that, but because by law they could only contribute so much, and we had just started work there, and so immediately we were faced with a $5,000 deductible. And remember trying to figure out these things. I mean, we're just a young couple, just had gotten married, and Lord, we're not sure all that you're doing in this situation. Timing seems way off. Financially, I'm not sure how we're going to make it through this situation. And certainly things were somewhat difficult in that time. But you know, looking back on that situation now, I see what God was doing in our lives. You see, for the first time in our lives, we didn't have mom and dad to run to in difficulty. We didn't have mom and dad to go to and say, hey, we need some money. We were there on our own. And listen, I thank the Lord for our parents and how they kind of helped us through that and kind of guided us through that. But understand this, it was about us standing on our own 2 feet at that time. And it was about God growing a relationship with us. And I remember in those 5 days and in the weeks and months to come that I learned more faith in God than I had ever learned in my entire life. Because at this time, it was just us and God. God was using that moment as a faith-building moment in our lives, preparing us for areas of greater faith. And how God used that in our lives, and understand this, listen, as we were going through that, we didn't understand His timing. We didn't understand His ways. We didn't understand His will for our lives. But in the end, God made all things clear. So much so that as times have gone by, as we've gone through this life, we've had other faith-building moments. We're able to look back on that and see God was there with us through that one. And see how God provided. And amazingly, how God brought a diagnosis for Sheree, and she was able to get better almost immediately from leaving the hospital 5 days later. How God allowed those bills to be paid, and how God answered. And can I say to you tonight, it was all about God growing our faith. The situation that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves was about God growing our faith. And I can't tell you how many times I've looked back on that situation and thank God for using it in our lives. Thanking God for showing us and teaching us faith in Him. I want to say tonight that God's will is always best in your life. God's timing is always perfect. And God's ways are always pure. To the intent, there in verse 15, to the intent ye may believe. Understand this, every situation that God allows in your life, He has this in mind. It's for your good and for His glory. And I want to imagine and think about this, what a wonderful God that we serve, that allows Himself to be so willingly involved in our individual lives, that takes such great care of us and begins to work with us as we go through situations and says, listen, if you'll just trust me, I'll bring you through this. But I'm going to allow this situation to build some faith on your behalf. I'm preparing you for something greater. Preparing you for a moment in your life in which you're going to need some greater faith. I'm going to use this moment to do that. Listen, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know all that God's doing in your life. I do know this, that God works constantly in our lives, doesn't He? Sometimes through blessing, and sometimes through trial. And I want to ask you this question. Are you allowing God to grow your faith through the difficult situations of life? Are you leaning upon Him and allowing Him to grow your faith? Oh, there may be questions. There's no doubt there's going to be questions. But let's allow God to grow our faith. And then this, maybe you're in a good time in your life. Maybe it's time just to point back and thank God for some of the things He's brought you through. Some of the situations that He's allowed in your behalf to grow your faith, in some of the ways that He's worked so intricately and so intimately in your life to bring you through something in order to grow your faith.